You're listening to Let's Talk, Episode 17, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Welcome to this week's episode of Let's Talk, our weekly SQPN community podcast. I'm Father Corey Stika. Glad to be here again this week. We've got a couple of voices who are known to the SQPN community. First, we've got Mac Barron. How's it going, Mac?
I'm good, man. I'm a dude. I'm ready to talk about man stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hello, Father. No, thank you. Thank you again for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, glad to have you. And then our other panelist is someone who's very well known, especially hopefully to the Let's Talk community, because he was the host of Catholic Weekend, Captain Jeff Nielsen. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Practicing your PA voice, right?
No. Yes.
Hey, slightly higher everybody. Than your normal pilot voice.
Yeah. Yes. Great to be here. Thank you for the invitation. It's feels like it's... back at home again.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, this is a little different setup because when we were doing Catholic Weekend, you were the host. I was the one of the panelists. So
yeah, I like this better.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to work as hard here. No. You don't have to go, now, what are we going to talk about? Oh. Jeff, for those who might not know who you are, why don't you give you a quick introduction?
Okay, well, I have been involved with SQPN since really kind of the early days. I believe around 2006, I started hanging around, being an audience member and supporter of the network. And for many, many years, I was on the board of directors, I think 8 or 9 years, I believe. And so also, as you just mentioned, I was involved in creating and hosting the Catholic Weekend show, kind of the predecessor to Let's Talk.
And you were, for a long time, you were SQPN's official t-shirt vendor.
That's right. In fact, I'm wearing one of the original SQPN t-shirts right now, the pale yellow with black SQPN and the star, the original logo. And it still says, "This the best in Catholic podcasting," as our tagline back then. And the reason why I'm Captain Jeff is that I'm in my real life, I'm an airline pilot.
Yep. Not just an airline pilot, but the airline pilot guy.
Yeah, I do a little show on the side. It started off on the StarQuest Production Network as Catholic Pilot back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And then rebranded in 2011, and it became just Airline Pilot Guy Show. And I'm still doing it every week.
That's where I know you from, is from the originally from the Catholic Pilot. That's when I started kind of following you. And then you've kind of shifted it over more of a panel show. And it's interesting to listen to. It really is.
Oh, thanks. I have a lot of fun doing it.
That's good. Now, Mac, you haven't been on Let's Talk yet, have you? You've been on other SQPN shows, but.
No, I've been on Let's Talk. We had on the Catholic blockchain guy.
Oh, that's right. You were on the first one. Okay. Yeah. Well, then you don't need to introduce yourself.
I was on the first one. That was the first episode.
That was the first episode of the rebooted Let's Talk.
Wow. I was on the inaugural episode. I'm an inaugural panelist.
Yeah. So what's been going on in your life since then?
And this will get into our discussion about manhood. but there are certain times in your life where you're just cruising along and you're just enjoying yourself. And there are other times in your life where you feel like you're so busy that you forget to cruise along and enjoy yourself. Like the logistics of juggling the family and professional life and, you know, doing things like Let's Talk in the middle of a Saturday morning. Not that this is an imposition. I'm really, truly enjoying this, and I'm honored to be a guest. But it's just like you realize, geez, I'm so busy. Like, I just need to sit and be with the Lord. Like, that's that's what I feel like I really, really want to do right now. So, but that's a very long explanation. We'll get into that later. But lately, Jude is in swim team, and I am still working trivia nights, two nights a week, and I've got this weird back thing going on. So I've started going to a chiropractor. That's a grand new adventure. And Catherine's adjusting her work life a little bit to better suit our family needs. And I'm trying to refinish our basement, or finish our base, part of our basement. So I've got all those things going on, and Ben's working like two different jobs outside of school and can't drive yet. So it's just an awful lot of juggling.
Yeah, that's kind of life in our world.
Yeah, and life is fantastic. So I'm not, that's not a complaint. That is sort of a statement of position, you know.
Yeah. Well, as Mac mentioned, you know, what we're going to talk about today is what it means to be a man in the church today. And, you know, I think that's a question that a lot of men have. You know, what does it mean? What does it mean to be man? What does it mean to be manly? You know, we're familiar. I think most of us are familiar with the Art of Manliness podcast and blog, where they talk about issues of manliness. And it's not always things like, you know, climbing a mountain or killing a bear or something like that. It's, you know, enjoying some of the finer things of life that men tend to appreciate that women maybe not so much, you know, a good whiskey, a good cigar, things like that, you know, but there's obviously much more to manliness. You know, why don't you guys mention what you think manliness looks like as a Catholic? We'll start with you, Mac.
Okay. What manliness looks
like. I'm glad
you picked
you first.
Yeah, for real. Thanks for that, Father.
You're welcome.
So, one, it's trying to sort of live out the reflection of God in the home. And to say, not to put it in too high and lofty of a of a standard, but the idea that you are at one time a leader, and the older I get, the more sort of mysterious this idea of fatherhood is, in not in that you can't figure it out, though you can't, but in how deeply rooted and deeply seated it is in the psyche and the soul of every person. And my dad passed away this past year, so I've been wrestling with that idea too. And I have four sons, and I'm different to each son in their eyes. Like, each son doesn't have the same image of me, and yet I'm father and I'm husband. And to sort of own up to the responsibilities of those positions, as well as trying to be a citizen out in the real world that stands for both my faith and trying to be a decent person. Mm-hmm. So that's the broadest general sense of manhood. And wrapped up in there, then you start hitting the specifics, like, what does a man look like? What does a man speak like? What does a man say? What does a man think? What does a man do? And the older I get, and I think we'll talk about more about this later, that you start understanding how frivolous pop culture is and how much more important conversations are and connections with people. And I think a hallmark of manhood is being behind the curve on that compared to what is woman and womanhood. Women seem to have a preternatural understanding of that dynamic that I just mentioned, of the how frivolous pop culture is and how important connections are. I always throw to my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, and that she had that figured out like before she hit 10 years old. She knew everybody and knew everybody's mom and dad and their children and where they came from, because she asked good questions. And I think men kind of, we come to that eventually if we're good men. So I don't, is that okay? How's that sound?
Yeah, no, it sounded good. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, follow that, Jeff.
Yeah, I really don't know what to say after that. That's just very, very deep. I guess my answer will be a little bit more simple, because I'm much more simple-minded than Mac is. Being a man is first in the church is first being the man in your family, your local church, and being a leader and a role model for your family, your wife and your children, and living, you know, what you teach them, And, you know, as we all know, if we are saying that this is the way we are supposed to lead our lives and this is the way we are supposed to treat people, but we are not following through in our own actions and behavior, then, of course, you're failing as a man in the church.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very key point both you kind of hit on is to be a man really is to be a leader.
Yes.
You know, it's not to say that there isn't a place for women in the church. Frankly, I would argue women have the majority of the position in the church right now, except in the leadership, you know, as far as the clergy is concerned, you know, but the vast majority of, you know, you look at your average parish and there's a lot of women there. There aren't a lot of men there, you know, and that would be kind of a question is how do we encourage that leadership of men? How do we encourage men to take that leadership, especially in their faith?
Well, I don't really have the words to it. And I didn't know this topic coming into it. All that stuff I said was just me sitting here at, you know, off the top of my head. So please don't hold too much of that against me. But there's an element and an aspect of passivity that is the antithesis of manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And the older I get, the more I realize that I don't know if the opposite of passivity is deliberateness. It's sort of this mix of deliberateness and action.
Mm.
And if we could get more men to wrap their heads around that, because it's awfully easy, and especially the more comfortable a society gets, the easier it is to be passive and to allow passivity to... Right. To build up this inertia that just keeps you in a place, whether it's spiritual or physical or anything in life or your relationships with your children and your wife. And so this sort of there's an action aspect to deliberateness. Not only do you have to do something, but you have to mean to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't mean to do it, then you just stumble through life. And I think the image of going to church men see as an inherently passive thing. And although they are living a passive life, there's something inside them that knee-jerks against that. And so there's no attractiveness to sitting in the pew.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see any action or deliberateness. They don't see the long tail view of my deliberate action to get my family to church on time and be in the pew and be a model of someone taking communion and having a positive relationship with my priest. That's a long tail, deliberate, active motion and to raise mm-hmm. good men and good women.
Absolutely.
And as you say, Mac, that passivity is something that I think becomes more and more present as we grow older and our family grows and our children grow older. All my children now, we have three, are adults. My youngest is... in her senior year now in college.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have the kind of job as an airline pilot where I spend a lot of time away from my family. And, you know, in the early days of that, I really had to try hard to be involved with my family when I was in between trips. And then as I grew older, my children grew older and their activities, either diminished or they were able to take care of their own transportation to all these activities and everything else. They became, you know, their own people, their own persons. Mm-hmm. So you naturally become less and less involved in their lives. And then combine that with the kind of job I have, a lot of traveling, a lot of time from home, that passivity is just something that just gets worse and worse, but it's easy to do.
Yeah.
And I find myself falling into that trap. And, you know, I was very, very involved in the parish, that I used to be at, the one that we came into the church back in 2000, involved in the music ministry. I was an RCIA, instructor, very involved in the church community, and my family was very involved. And then, we ended up moving to a new parish, and I just kind of decided that maybe this would be a good time to take a break from that involvement. And, the problem with that is that after a while, you just kind of get used to just going to church, sitting in the pew, not being involved. And, until very recently, I've decided that it's time for me to get back involved again, especially music ministry is what I used to be very involved with, other than the RCIA program. And so now, in fact, just last Sunday, as a matter of fact, I walked up to the one of the leaders of music at a mass that I usually go to, and said, I would like to sing. I've been involved in music all my life, and
it'd been great if you walked up and said, I'd like to sing.
That's exactly what I did. And I did the jazz hands too. Yeah. No. I got to sing last Sunday. And in fact, after the show today, I'm going to be, and there's another ensemble that I'm going to get involved with for the Vigil Mass on Saturdays.
That's great.
So I'm really, you know, it's a step forward in the right direction. I do feel like that my passivity has led to a decrease in my spirituality, my everything involved with our Catholic faith and spirituality. So, I'm recovering from that, and I'm trying to reverse that and get re-involved, and I'm going to learn something from this discussion we're having this morning, I'm sure.
Great.
Well, I'm sorry, Father, go ahead.
I wonder too, I think, Mac, you kind of mentioned how women tend to have a more attunement to the spiritual life. They tend to have a better attachment to it, attraction to it. I think most men, we need to work at that. You know, the spiritual life is not something we fall into. It's something that it's not natural for us because we are, again, now we're speaking generalities. I want to make that clear. You know, there are men who are much more spiritual than maybe we are. There are men who don't fit these molds. But I would just, in my experience, that the vast majority of men, we tend to be very concrete. We logic, you know, we want it, you know, very right in our face, you know, and the spiritual life isn't that. So we need to work at that. We need to develop that. And if we don't, we just don't think about it. We just, you know, I think a lot of men just don't think about the spiritual life because they're busy with their jobs. They're busy with their families. They're busy with sports. They're busy with this, that, the other thing, doing their daily lives because it's concrete. It's something they can see, they can touch, they can sense. And the spiritual life doesn't fit into those boxes. It isn't something that's concrete. You know, you talked about being passive. You can go to Mass and be completely passive. You can just kind of sit there with your arms crossed. And while I'm here, I'm standing when I'm supposed to stand. I'm sitting when I'm supposed to sit. I'm doing what I need to do. But there's something very different than when we come to Mass and we enter into it, not just, you know, doing the action, saying the words, but actually entering into it as a prayer, being conscious to do that. And again, I think that's something men need to work on. And we haven't encouraged men to do that. We aren't even encouraging men to come to Mass at all. You know, I can't count the number of spouses I have and I've seen as a priest where the wife is there, the kids are there, husband's up at the golf course.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and it's weird. Anytime I like to think of the human condition, whenever you say, what is manhood? And one of the things that stupefies me is it is not a thing. It is more like a stone that has all these facets, like a cut diamond has.
Yeah.
You know, could have hundreds of facets, and some of those are more important than others, like the whiskey facet. I love that facet, but it's not nearly as important as, say, you know, call to family. But among what you said is sort of wrapped up in sort of a mystery of manhood, in that it's a great contradiction, because guys don't want to do anything, okay? Like, intellectually, all right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to do. It's easier not to do. But spiritually, there's nothing more rewarding than the doing. And without the doing, you feel useless. If you feel useless, you want to do less. And so I think the way to get more men involved, especially in the situation of where the spouse is already there, is to you look the spouse in the eye and say, tell your husband we need him to do X. And that husband says, oh, crap, I got to do so-and-so. But deep, there's a deep place in him that he is not aware of that says, yes, I can do something for someone else of use. And then psychologically and spiritually, that creates a bond and a tie to that institution, your parish. and now he's involved. He might not come to Mass, but he's helping to fry fish. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when he's helping to fry fish, he's going to be working alongside a parishioner that's going to talk to him. And a conversation is going to revolve around coming to their home or coming to some other function and eventually to Mass. And so guys have to do, and psychologists tell us this about boys, growing boys. They don't talk to you unless you're doing something with them, unless you're shooting hoops in the backyard or you're putting Legos together. That is when a boy opens up, when he's doing, and there's something, and that follows him into manhood. So this whole thinking about church as passivity is so, men don't like it, but you get him involved. You tell him there's a need, and at first he's not going to like it, and then he's going to love it.
So how is it that we've gone from the early days of the church that we read in the New Testament and the centuries thereafter when you read the writings of the church fathers? It was all male-centric. Everything that happened in the church was, you know, led by males. And then now we find ourselves a couple thousand years later, and it's mostly, as you mentioned, Father, the female members of our congregation that are doing all the work. And then we've kind of now looked at being spiritual, being religious, going to church, going to Mass on the weekends as something that's feminine. And I remember many years ago when I was coming into the church, I went to one of those men's group meetings. And the very first thing that we did was pray the rosary. And there were like 50 to 100 men in that room praying the rosary. And that was such a powerful thing to me, thinking this must have been what it was like back in the very early days of the church. And why is it not like that anymore?
That's good. That's a good question. I mean, yeah, you look and it's all the apostles were men. And of course, someone would say, well, it's because they were all a bunch of male chauvinist pigs back then and the women couldn't. No. I mean, first of all, that's a complete misunderstanding of what the spiritual life in general, not just, you know, Judeo-Christian, but the pagan religions. Most of the leaders of the pagan religions were women. You know, the priestesses, you know, they were priestesses. They weren't men. They were women. That's a misunderstanding of history to say that. I mean, but I really wonder if it goes back to what Max said of in the idea of this men's retreat. It's the men supported other men, you know, so that, you know, these male leaders were there supporting other men in living the faith, in practicing the faith. You know, and at some point, for whatever reason, that's shifted where we've lost that. Because I think, you know, if you ask people who were active in the church, say, in the 40s and 50s, that was still a very common thing to see a lot of men involved and active in the church. Maybe not to the level, again, of what you would see like with the church fathers. But masculine involvement in the parish was still a real thing.
I was going to propose that perhaps it has something to do with our more modern work environment where, and of course now this has completely changed because men and women, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives now are both out there in the working world. But I was thinking that earlier when it was mostly a male-centric thing to go out into the workplace and the woman stayed home to care for the family, that maybe men said, you know what, I work really, really hard during the week and the weekend is my time. I don't want to, I want to, you know, just sit back and relax. But I'm not so sure now that that's actually a good argument for how we've gotten to this point because we're not, it's not a male-centric work environment, workplace anymore. Not so much as it used to be.
No, and I think it would be fools to, even though, Father, I'm not going to take issue with you saying it, you know, they weren't chauvinists. Okay, I think you're right about that. But we'd be fools not to appreciate the patriarchal dynamic of the last 2,000 years and how that has shifted in that it was such a male-centered world relying on the underpinnings of female support. All right. So that obviously has shifted in the last 200 years dramatically. So women have sort of been on the rise. I mean, for lack of a better term, and to put it in a super broad generalization, on the rise in society and their role in society and accepted place in society as general consensus. So there's that. And then, I, and I'm no Bible scholar, you could tell me more about this, but if you have any amount of sort of patriarchal bias and you're writing about the situation, then you are leaving out what I can only imagine was a vast amount of support that the apostles were given by the women surrounding them.
I mean, we know that existed. I mean, even when Jesus was ministering, when he was going about his ministry, it talked about the women who supported him, Mary Magdalene being one of them. You know, so we know that was there, and we know that is written throughout, you know, and St. Paul wrote about the women that he knew through his ministry, the women that supported him in his ministry. So we know that's there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And coupled with all that is people that don't know the Bible look back at the scriptures, and they're not actually looking at the scriptures. They're looking at what they think they know about the scriptures. So they see Paul, who writes about women in the church helping, but they don't see those few lines of scripture. They see the vast amount of Paul's work, which does not mention women except to say, wives, be submissive to your husbands. You know, so that's a hot button issue that allows them to say, look what a chauvinist world this was.
Right.
There's a lot going on. Again, it's a dynamic.
Yeah. Well, and it's a challenge, obviously, you know, looking back. We need to make sure that we're not putting our 21st century blinders on, that we are viewing the world then as we think it was now, you know, and judging them according to our standards now.
Speaking of now, all right, we've talked about manhood in general, and then we've looked at sort of the call to action that's inherent in manhood, and we've looked at, or we've talked briefly about the church history, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to steer the conversation to today, because okay. Go ahead.
And actually, that would be a good conversation to steer to, but we need to take a quick commercial break. So this is a good time to do it. Perfect timing. Once again, I want to thank everyone for listening to Let's Talk. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and please do share it with your friends, with your family. Give us, you know, a thumbs up on Facebook. Give us a 5-star rating if you think we're worth it, and a review in iTunes and so on. Help us promote our podcast. Obviously, we want to get our podcast out to as many people as we can. While you're doing that, also, please do take our listener survey. We want to hear what you're interested in. You know, we're trying to do things to find more interest, to bring more people in. And obviously to do that, we need to know what you're interested in. So if you go to sqpn.com/survey, you can take a listener survey. Only takes a few minutes, and asks about your interest and your demographics and so on. And then at the end, you can put in your name and email address and so on, and be entered into a raffle for one of two $50 Amazon gift cards. So please do go take that survey. We'll be doing it through the end of the month or so. So you got a little bit of time still. But again, this is just to help us understand what is your interest, how we do our podcast, what works best for you, and so on. So please do take a look at that, and we appreciate your doing the survey. Okay, so commercial break over. So what do you want to mention about, you know, now, Mac?
All right. So if you thought earlier what I was saying was a mishmash of stuff, just hold on, everybody. It gets even better. I've got sort of a constellation of things that fit perfectly into what we're talking about. And I want to frame it in what I was like last night. And that was, I was in a terrible mood. I was super tired. I'd made just about everybody in my family mad at me at some point. And we ate late, and we have to take our golden for a walk afterward. And I'm realizing that I'm just clamming up and I'm being a jerk. So I decided to just spew. I just let it all out at my wife, all right, and just said, this is what's happening, this is what's going on, blah, 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 because part of manhood is realizing that women want to talk to you, that you don't want to talk. I did not want to talk at all, but instead, I let it all out, and I felt a lot better because the letting out helped me process it.
Just out of curiosity, when that took place, the dynamic, did your wife offer some suggestions and solutions to anything, or did she just listen?
No. We talked through it. We talked through the stuff. But it just so happens right now I'm on my wife's laptop, and we're getting a call from one of my sons, and I'm trying to turn it off as I talk to you guys. So I'm sorry, I'm seeming distracted.
Well, whatever happened there, now I can see both of you.
He needs to hang up that and works. Call the house phone. Okay, you're back. All right. Now, okay, so how it pertains to today is we're in the midst of scandal. And part of the reaction to that scandal that I'm hearing is a call to prayer and fasting. Okay. And so then there's the realization that I need to do more of that. Okay. Blam. That's action. Prayer and fasting. And that really appeals to the guy part of me. And it also says to me, I don't want to give up anything. What? Psh, I'm already praying. What does it matter? Okay. So there's the call to that. So there's one star in the constellation. On top of that, there's, if you've been listening to our show, I've been a Jordan Peterson fanboy for a long time now. And an awful lot of what he talks about is sort of these archetypical hero images that are deep, deep, deep within us, and we keep telling over and over again. And a lot of that has to do with growing up and being a man and living a life of meaning and action and not necessarily happiness. Okay, so that. A deeper drive in us is meaning, all right? And not necessarily to be happy right now. So there's another constellation. On top of that is right when the scandal is telling me that I need, and I mentioned this on our last show, that what we're seeing within the church and the bad bishops, let's call them, let's say, and some bad priests, is only a magnification of my own sin. I've never abused a child, all right? But I've sinned, and I'm in the church. And like Jordan Peterson talks about Dostoevsky sort of realizing that he is at least partially responsible for the horrors that are going on around him, that I need to take responsibility for that in my own life. And there's a call to holiness that I have been ignoring for a long time, that I'm thinking of myself as a good dude, but I don't need to be a good dude. I need to be holy dude, and I need to be a saint, and I need to be trying to raise my boys as saints and helping my wife become a saint. And so there's all those things sort of happening at the same time. And there was one other thing there. All right. So I go to this event that I helped coordinate, that I had to help video several speakers at the local middle school. It was a north cluster of schools that had an internet safety parent night. And one of the speakers there was this guy named Matt Frad that I had never heard of before, that my son saw speak at a last Steubenville conference. And he's this Australian guy, super charismatic, very funny, but he talks about the dangers of pornography and the effect on the brain, of especially the developing brain. Fantastic speaker. And it's kind of one of those things that, like, when you buy a certain color car, you know, or a certain type of car, the next day you notice 20 of those on the road, right? Never heard of Matt Frad before. And then all of a sudden, he's everywhere. You know, the next day I meet him, I was like, he's involved in this, and he's involved in this, and he's got this podcast, and he's got this podcast.
And how so, I didn't see him ever before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so, I mean, and the issue of pornography in particular touches everybody's lives. And it, again, it's part of that sort of call to holiness. It was like, oh, and then there's that, you know? And on top of that, then you see somebody else who is super smart, involved in lots of things, and is doing fantastic work. And you think, oh, dude, I'm not doing anything. So it's all that jumble of stuff, and it's all connected to my own identity as a man. And so that's what I'm dealing with. So thank you for this therapy session, everybody. I appreciate that. I think we've made some really good progress here today.
I'm not sure we're going to be able to help you at all. But
yeah.
Okay, you go.
Well, one thing I want to key on, you kind of mentioned, you know, the needing to do prayer and fasting for sins. And there is a sense in the faith of doing reparation for others' sins, right, not just our own. And something I think we can call men to do. In fact, there's on, I think it's this coming Thursday. Yeah, the 13th. There's a group of priests that have gotten together, a fairly large number, that are going to do a day of prayer and fasting. And I've decided to join them as well, including a holy hour at 3 a.m. local time. You know, to make that sacrifice, you know, to make that sacrifice to get up and to spend an hour in prayer, you know, and it's not just for my sins. And of course, as a priest, I have sins too. I have to go to confessor. I can't just look in the mirror and I absolve myself. It doesn't work. I wish it did. Yeah. It doesn't.
I bet if Trump were a priest, he would claim to be able to do that. But go ahead.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not just for my sins. It's for the sins of the priests, the bishops who have come before, who have committed the sins. Just like you said, I haven't abused someone and I never would, you know, but that doesn't mean that I don't have sins that I have to make reparation for, in sins that, you know, people, maybe I have hurt people in my words or in actions that I've done that were ill-advised, you know, nothing illegal, nothing immoral, just not a good decision, things like that. So, and that's something I think men can do very well, is because, again, it's a concrete thing. Okay, I am going to do these actions and dedicate it towards this purpose.
Yeah.
Well, you said so much, both of you, that Mac, you just threw all kinds of things in there. And the thing that I kind of grabbed onto was that notion, this fixation, fascination in our society with being happy. Like that's the end all. That's what we strive for. And if we don't achieve happiness, then we are failures in this life. And I think that is so fundamentally wrong. I mean, you read all of the stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you say, where does it say in here, save for some of the prosperity preachers out there, mm-hmm. where does it say in here that if we're doing it right and we're faithful people, faithful men, that we're going to be happy? Well, right. It doesn't say that at all. In fact, it says the opposite, really.
Exactly.
It says if you do the right thing.
Read the book of Job. Yeah, read the book of Job if you need proof for that.
You follow in Christ's footsteps and you do what you're supposed to do. Chances are, it's an 80 to 90% chance you're not going to be happy at all. Happiness is not for this world. It's for the next. But that's not to say that we should not be happy in this life. I think a lot of whether somebody is happy or unhappy in this life has to do with your attitude about things. You know, you choose not to be happy, right, or you choose to be happy regardless of what's happening around you. Now, I know that there's some extreme situations where, you know, the regardless of your attitude, it just life is not working out and it's hard to be happy. But
well, and it's and there's a real difference between joyfulness and happy. Happy is an emotion. It comes and goes. It can be fleeting. But joyfulness, you can be in very difficult circumstances and still be joyful. You're not happy about it, but you're joyful.
Right. Yeah. Piggybacking on that, and one of the issues that I was sort of wrestling with last night was trying to figure out why I was in such a bad mood, you know, and I think I've sort of snuck up on it in that amongst all of those realizations is this idea that, and I mentioned this earlier because it's so fresh on my mind, but this frivolity of pop culture. Like Dave Ramsey, we're big Dave Ramsey fans. And one of the things he likes to say is, you know, the millionaire next door doesn't know who got voted off the island last night. Mm-hmm. And that's a shorthand way of saying, who cares what people are saying on Twitter? Who cares what a ass Trump is making out of himself. Who cares about this and that? Like, focus on your soul and focus on making the world better around you and being kind to others and trying to be like Christ. That's what you focus on. And so in the midst of that, that doesn't put me in a bad mood. What puts me in a bad mood is I think I'm a little in mourning for the Mac that came to be. You know, like I, that's been such a huge part of my life up until this point. Is being in the middle of, say, pop culture and knowing what's hot and knowing what's funny right now and knowing all this stuff and the realization that none of that stuff matters. Mm. It's a shift. It's a pivot in life. And I think there's something very human about understanding the sadness and leaving something like that behind, and yet the joy in understanding that, oh, I'm growing up. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is manhood. Mm-hmm. You know? Anyway, there.
I think that one of those things that I've struggled with, and I think most of us do, especially, you know, being involved in the StarQuest production network where we are trying to evangelize to people by being involved with and interested in things like Star Wars and all these mm-hmm. pop culture things, but really enjoying and just taking part in it. But, you know, thinking about the Old Testament or the New Testament about how we were supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Okay. And it's for me, and I think, again, many of us struggle with this, is that's a fine line. You know, where is it that we're just too far into all of this pop culture stuff
right.
We should be, but we need to be there, you know, because Jesus was out there amongst the sinners. And I'm not saying that people enjoying pop culture are sinners, right. We're all sinners, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's a fine line. I find sometimes yeah. that I maybe go too far in the wrong direction.
Yeah. I'm not saying let's go nuclear on it. That's really not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's more of a balance, more of a balance of holiness and, I guess, for lack of a better term, righteousness and keeping it in its place and understanding why don't we call ourselves to appreciate the finer aspects of pop culture, the things that are telling those age-old, deepful, soulful stories that help bring us closer to Christ and not wallowing in the mud.
Right. No, I agree 100%, and this is a good place to end this discussion. But you know, that's where you talk about things like art of manliness and things like that, where it, you know, they talk about, you know, appreciating a fine whiskey, a good beer, a fine cigar, a good movie, you know, some good recreation, some good entertainment, you know, things that are the finest things in life, but not getting caught up in them. So, but like I said, this is a good place to end our discussion. And of course, I know Captain Jeff remembers Pick of the Week from Catholic Weekend as he gives that. Oh, I forgot.
I forgot that you told me that we still do Picks of the Week. And so I am going to defer to
Matt go first.
I quickly think of something.
All right. Well, I'm not only pivoting from a Jordan Peterson fanboy, but also to a Matt Frad fanboy. Just because it's like, I'm like looking at this stuff going, okay, there's a body of work here. Let's appreciate this. And one of his podcasts that he does is Pints with Aquinas. And also, why I was in such a bad mood last night is because I felt like a moron listening to the last episode where they jovially talk through Aquinas's fourth proof for the existence of God.
Yeah.
Through which the whole time I keep thinking, I'm a smart dude. Why can't I get this? And so I just felt like an idiot. So although I felt like an idiot listening to this, it's not because they did anything wrong. It's because they're putting forth real substantial food for thought and food for the soul. And that podcast, again, is called Pints with Aquinas, and I've only listened to one episode, but man, it was really something. They had on an Aquinas expert, and he was fantastic. Yep. So I want to recommend that.
I highly recommend it as well. I listened to that's on my rotation, and it's an excellent one. They don't just talk about the Proofs for God. That's one of the things, themes he's doing, but he talks about a lot of other things. So it's very much worth checking out. I'll go next and we'll let Jeff do the last one. So he's got a little time to be ready. My recommendation is a podcast as well. And it actually fits the theme of the show we're doing today. It's the Catholic Man Show. It's out of, Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a couple of gentlemen, Anna Minahan and David Niles. They run the Catholic radio station down there. And, they started this show as kind of a way to have a Catholic radio show for men. Well, they put it out as a podcast as well. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's a little over top, and it's kind of Art of Manliness style, you know, where it gets just a little over the top, but that kind of makes it fun. They do, every episode they review a manly drink. So they'll have like an alcoholic beverage of some sort that they discuss the virtue of moderation. They're very clear about that, you know, you enjoy this. It's a fine thing in life. God has given it to us, but you enjoy it in moderation. They talk about manly gear, which is something that every man should own. And this isn't just like clothes or a computer or a car. Like the last episode, they talked about the dining room table, the table where the family gathers as a meal, and the importance of the family gathering for a meal, you know. So they talk about that, and then a manly topic, whatever it might be. Like it was vocations. They talked with the vocation director of their diocese, the priest who is the vocation director down there, talking about vocations. So it's very different topics. So some of the stuff we talked about here today, other topics, you know, there can be fun topics, serious topics, you know. So it's really kind of fun. So it's worth checking out. Again, the Catholic Man Show is what it's called.
I am subscribed. Okay. Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. It's worth it. Yep.
Wow. I'm going to have to check out all these things. I'm not subscribed to either of those things. But yeah, just to keep it in the same genre, I guess, in the world of podcasts and such. Actually, for me, and we've mentioned his name a few times, I too am a big fan of Jordan Peterson. And I do follow his YouTube channel, and I actually am giving him money via Patreon every month because I'm supporting him in that way. And
Jordan told me he emailed me the other day. He would prefer that you take your Patreon funds because he has so much funds and give that to Catholic in a Small Town.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I think I got that message as well. I just haven't read it yet. I just saw I got something from Jordan. So I'm sure that's what it's all about. So
are you sure it wasn't SQPN? I'm sure.
No, I already support Catholic in a Small Town. I should remind you. Anyway, so what you're saying is I need to give you more now. Okay.
Yes. Duh. Okay.
Well, anyway, Jordan Peterson, if you don't know who the heck this guy is a clinical psychologist and professor of psychology at the University of Toronto. And it's really been an encouragement to me listening to him and his take on, you know, what we should be doing as men and women and just people in this society of ours. And I'm not sure what his religious affiliation is. I'm pretty sure it's not Catholic, but
I think he's agnostic at best. I don't think he really has a faith background as far as I know.
Okay. Although I know that he does talk a lot about God and religion and its importance in this world. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. Not quite a Catholic-centric pick of the week for me, but I think a good one nonetheless.
But it's good for the soul.
Yeah, it is. Very much so. Yeah, there's a lot that he says that is very Catholic friendly. And I think he is generally very friendly towards the Catholic Church, at least the traditions and the morals that we espouse, not how we live it, sadly, but
right.
That's on our fault. That's
yeah.
Not,
he
not
seems
him.
To have a really good handle on the institutional value of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the value of the traditions that it bestows upon the members and throughout generations. He seems to hold that in great value.
Exactly. Well, excellent. Thank you both for coming on. Mac, where can people find you?
They can find me on my wife and I do Catholic in a Small Town. It's a podcast we've done for the last 10 years. We'll sit down sometime in the next couple of days and record episode 464. And awfully proud of that. Occasionally, we sit down and record an episode of Spoiled, where we talk about a movie, like Water Cooler Conversation. And they can go over to Amazon right now and pre-order my book, Clueless in Galilee, A Fresh Take on the Gospel. And that's going to be published in real form on November 1st. And so I'm very excited about that. Very pleased that's going to be published through Our Sunday Visitor.
Oh, excellent. I was going to ask who your publisher was. That's awesome.
Thanks.
And how about you, Jeff?
I do not have a book. You can find me in Roswell, Georgia, and
take
all
an
over
Uber.
The domestic United States flying around. I do a little thing called the Airline Pilot Guy Show. It's an aviation podcast, a weekly podcast. And you can contact me by sending me email to jeff@airlinepilotguy.com.
Excellent. You could probably take one of your episodes and transcribe it as a book.
Probably so, yeah. Maybe I'll write a book when I'm older.
Yeah. Jeff, I personally enjoy Jeff's podcast because I'm kind of an aviation geek, but they're not short episodes, so
nope.
You take them in chunks.
Yeah.
But once again, I'm Father Corey Stika. You can find me at my website where I post my homilies, FRCorey, that's FRCORY.org. My Facebook page is Father Corey Stika, with Father spelled out, in Stika, STICHA. And of course, if you want to give us feedback on this topic of manliness or any of our topics we've had on Let's Talk, you can send us an email at letstalk@sqpn.com. And of course, no apostrophe in Let's Talk. Let's Talk, please. Thank you once again for joining us, and we hope you'll join us again next week. God bless.
Thanks, Father. God bless.
God bless.